Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Convos and Cocktails. This is a show where we drink, we learn sometimes, we talk shit, maybe we laugh, but we definitely drink. So today's guest is Dr. Katlego Lekala-Kala.
Yes.
Ugh, period. Yeah. I'm so nervous.
It's not that
so
difficult.
Many L's and K's. It's not when you,
anyway. When you think about it, it's like chakalaka.
I love that.
Honestly, that's how I say.
Dr. Katlego Chakalaka is in the house. So before we get started on your bio, on the information on why you're here, what is this cocktail and why did you, this is a margarita. Why did you choose a margarita?
I just love it. It makes me feel sexy. I love
sexy.
Tequila.
Okay.
Yeah. Tequila makes me feel sexy, honestly. It also is an easy drink. It's not too sweet, right? It's tangy. Although I don't always like tangy things, but it just works. It works very well for me. It doesn't give me hangovers.
Okay.
Big thing.
To being sexy.
Yes. Cheers.
Cheers.
Clink, clink.
I think this is like the second margarita I'm having this season, and I don't like tequila that much, but I'm not mad at it in a margarita.
So I found, when you're postpartum, you really struggle. Mm. You get drunk like really quickly.
Okay.
And you get hungover really quickly. This has not been like so bad with me since postpartum. Yeah. The other stuff kind of are hard on me. So yeah, I prefer it.
I also do know tequila to be that person, but I just, the taste of like just the shot, owl. Yeah. Anyway, our guest today, like I said, is Dr. Katlego. She is a doctor. Obviously, by the name. Do we call you Dr. Katlego the whole time, or is it just Katlego?
Like, what
do you?
Please call me Katlego.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. I don't know. Sometimes people want to be doctor. Like, I was talking to the producer and the guy who owns the studio, Marco, and we were like, if we were doctors, that would be what we make people call us. Like, you're going to call me Dr. Lesora. I studied for 7 years. That's it. Even in Groove, like, hi, I'm Dr. Lesora.
I won't lie though. I do use it to get into places.
Exactly.
We know how shallow the world is, especially in Cape Town. Yeah. That's like my thing.
No, actually, at some point you even were like, I'm going to run 2 minutes late, which is so perfect because the rest of the guests, I won't even tell you how late they were. But I was like, oh no, I trust her. She's a doctor. She'll be here. He was like, you see, that's so nice. Like, you get away with things.
It's so nice.
You like get trusted because you're a doctor.
Yeah, people think I'm like so reliable. And I'm like, I'm such a ditzy like person. Like, it's so hilarious.
That is so great. Anyway, the reason why we've called her here today is because she is one of the founders, the founder.
Yeah, I'm the only founder.
The only founder of Clueless Moms, which is a community online built by mothers for mothers, or by a mother for mothers. It's a place where you can chat, you can navigate through motherhood, ask questions. Not necessarily that she'll give the answer, but I've seen that she shares sometimes. And I guess the community of moms sometimes come up with answers. So thank you so much for joining us. I didn't think I'd have this episode because I myself, I'm not a mom and I don't plan on being one. But I think the followers, you know, some people are, and I think it's just a really interesting, important discussion.
Yeah.
Around being a young mom.
It's like very inclusive of you. I like that.
Thanks. Anyway, so I'm going to go through some of, first of all, the questions just from our guests. You're here as a bit of an expert, but obviously you're just a mom yourself. You're not a psychologist or, you know, someone who studied this thing. You just happen to be a mom. So many of the answers are from her experience. And if she doesn't know, she doesn't know. If you do, you do. If you can recommend someone for whom to go look at. You know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the first topic I wanted to discuss is friendships after a baby. And the reason why I want to start here is because I have friends who are mothers.
Yeah.
And sometimes the friendships have changed and sometimes they haven't. For you, have you found that your friendships with non-mothers has changed since you became a mom?
Yeah, actually. When you enter motherhood, you feel very lost in that whole space. We speak about this all the time, that you start to go back on a journey of trying to rediscover who you were before. Yeah. And you kind of have to mourn that person because you are a different person now, you know, as much as there are still some parts. So not everybody can reconcile with that. And it's not easy for everybody to navigate around that.
Yeah.
I actually had friendship breakups, I think, maybe like 6 months into my parenting. Mm-hmm. It wasn't nice. I won't lie to you. It really wasn't nice. That made me feel more insecure than my body.
Okay.
But it was like coupled with it because all my friends at that time were like really hot girls. They still are. They're very beautiful, hot girls.
I mean, as are you.
Thank you. I didn't feel that way. Yeah. Honestly, I really didn't feel that way. I felt very out of place. And I remember the last time I hung out with them, we were out at like a very famous or popular spot in Joburg on a Sunday, Saint Sundays. I don't know if I can say that. I don't know if you've been there on a Sunday.
Once or twice, but it's a very overwhelming place.
It is, right?
Very full and overwhelming.
It's
place.
Very sexy. Mm. It's like it girls, hot girls of Joburg, you know? And I remember, I guess we were going through the breakup and we hadn't had the conversation. And then I was like there. And honestly, I felt very uncomfortable. Mm. I was wearing a long dress because I was trying to cover up. It was black. It just didn't make sense. I looked like I was coming from a funeral. And I had my afro out. It was beautiful. Mm. But like, I didn't even style it like that nicely. You know, I started like a child. And I felt so out of place. And they looked so gorgeous. But they were like over me.
Mm.
And they made it very clear, you know. And it felt kind of like high school.
Mm.
Because only the one girl was talking to me and I got like weird remarks from another one. It was just like very...
So it was giving you can't sit with us, mean girl energy type of thing.
Yeah. It was very... That was like the hardest thing I feel like I had to go through after my giving birth to my child. And then God finds a community for you somehow. And
how did you find your new community of moms? And was it specifically just new friends or was it all new moms?
So mostly new moms and new friends. And some people, it was like they were there and then it's like, okay, now we have like a shared belief or we have common ground so we can talk about. And it's not saying that all my friends are mothers, right? I still have my old friends who were excited about the baby and are still so excited about my child and really just want to be around her and really just want to engage with her. And that's so awesome to see. And then, yes, the community, especially on Instagram, I did find a community of friends, really, and it extended into real life.
Yeah.
So that's okay. How I found
there are people like us who, you know, want to be supportive of your mother friend, someone who's become a new mom. Mm. And yes, you said you want to be around your child all the time. It's very difficult sometimes to navigate the new friendship because now we're like, girl is not picking up the phone or she's not coming through to any of the things or she's not at my birthday. How would you give advice or what would you say to new moms and to the friends to support each other, I guess, on this new thing? Because moms do have to sometimes show up, but obviously friends need to give a lot of grace to new moms.
Yeah, I think having conversations is very important. Mm-hmm. Because a lot gets lost in translation, right? So communicate your needs to each other.
Yeah.
So I need you in this way. This is my capabilities. This is what I'm able to do. And I wish I had done that. Even like with my friends that are not my friends anymore, I do see fault in myself in that I isolated myself and there was a disconnect. They just couldn't connect with me anymore, you know? So I feel like communicating is very important. And also if you can show up, really show up, it really does a lot for you because then it reminds you of the person that you used to be because you really can get lost in that world of being a mother. And like, I mean, at that time I was like sticky because I had leaking boobs and I was breastfeeding all the time and I was so hurtful. Can I say that?
You can swear. You can say whatever.
I can swear? Okay. I was so hurtful and I just really wanted to be out. But I didn't realize that I was forcing things at that time. But honestly, as much as people should show you grace, also show them grace in that they have an expectation of you as you have an expectation of them. So as a new mom, I just really say, communicate, be open with your friends and tell them how to best support you.
Yeah. All right, cool. I think we've spoken a nice bit about friendships. I'm going to ask you some of the other questions that people submitted. And again, if you don't have an answer, it's cool. This person says, my baby is 10 months, really sweats a lot, especially when drinking bottles. I was like, not your baby drinking. His head is permanently wet. Is it normal?
So some children do sweat a lot when they are drinking or when they're feeding, because people don't realize feeding is some sort of an exercise, yeah. right? If she is really that worried, she can take the child to the pediatrician. Mm-hmm. Like, I really don't want to diagnose the child.
Yeah, especially when you can't see them.
Yeah, it's very difficult. There are some heart conditions that are related to children, like sweating more profusely. But a lot of the time you find that it's completely normal and it's just because of the energy release.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, basically, if you want to take it, the child's the doctor.
If the child is, like, happy, playing, able to feed all the time and is tolerating the feeds, then I really don't think you should. Mm-hmm. It can be something that you bring up at your next consultation, even with the sisters that are giving the immunization. And that's something that I really want to highlight.
Yes.
People kind of undermine the nurses,
mm-hmm.
and they are normally the best people to go to because they have a better understanding of mm-hmm. children, and they see these children a lot.
Mm.
So they can tell you what's normal and what's not. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you very much. This one, I know my mommy friends get sick and tired to death, especially the ones who share with their communities online. How do you block out the noise as a first-time mom? Everyone has opinions about your baby. I'm sure with as many followers as you have and as much of Nia that you share,
yeah,
everybody has an opinion about something you're doing wrong, something you could do better, something. How do you block out the noise and just get people to mind their own business?
I tell them off.
Oh, hectic. Okay. Yeah. I like that for you.
I tell you off. Mm. So as much as I'm sharing my life online, you don't own my life.
Mm.
And you don't know the huge part of it. Yeah. You're only getting snippets of it, right?
Yeah.
You don't know the bigger picture. I remember in the beginning of sharing Nia, someone came into my comments, into my DMs. She was like, how do you feel staying with your man and you're not even married?
Oh, no.
And
not 1987.
Yeah. And she was like, you haven't even gone home to actually do it the right way. And I was like, I'm doing it my way. And that's the right way in my life. They don't get blocked, though. Mm. I don't block people.
Love that for you. I do.
No, but I don't.
It takes a lot.
Yeah, it takes a lot. Like, you have to really swear at me. So that person just needed, has a belief system that is not aligned to mine. I don't think she tried to offend me.
Yeah.
She did overstep. And all you do is you bring her back to the step and just tell her, bring her back to the step and just tell her, babes, this is where you and I meet. Mm-hmm. This is where you and I differ. Let's not go into those areas.
And also, and just leave it at it's that. My life.
Yeah, it's my life. And I'm very happy with my life. I'm very happy being with my partner the way we are.
Mm.
I really don't think you need to be married for you to have the best family life.
Mm.
Because there's also people who are very lonely in their marriages.
Very. And there are also people raising kids. I always say that sometimes there's single raising moms kids, who are married.
Yeah. Like, and I think that's the worst.
There's a lot of that.
I've seen that a lot. And it's very sad.
Mm.
It's very, very sad. I think my boyfriend is a single parent.
In your relationship?
My fiance, sorry.
Okay. Before we continue with the questions, I actually just want to ask you about your personal journey, however much you're willing to share.
Yeah.
First of all, what happened when you found out you were pregnant? Was this like elation? Were you like, oh my God, what's going to happen? What was your journey from? And how did you find out you were pregnant?
Yeah, that's quite interesting. Okay. So we were naughty. I had gotten off my contraceptive because in actual fact, you shouldn't be on contraceptive for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Does this include like the physical ones like IUD, or you mean the hormonal ones?
No. So IUD, you should be on it for the 5 years or the 3 years. Mm-hmm. Depends on which one you're on.
So I'm just really worried because I'm like, what?
And the Implanon. Yeah. I'm just talking about the pill.
Okay.
The pill, you actually shouldn't be on it like for, it's not like a chronic medication. You can't be on it for like years.
Okay.
And I was on it for like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It had started to alter my mood and my libido was like tanking in the beginning of my relationship. It was like tanking, you know? So I got off of it at some point and I was just like, I want to be free of all of this. And then, yeah, we did what adults do. I remember the day.
So was your thinking also, if I get pregnant, it's okay?
No. Okay. I was naughty.
Okay.
No, it was wrong. We did old school family planning.
Pull out.
Pull out. The PO. So, yeah. You know what? We were also planning around ovulation, right?
Okay.
And I remember this day, I said to him, now we're good. and we actually weren't good. I remember the day we conceived. Yeah. So after that, I felt kind of like sick. And I remember we went to Cape Town and I got so sloshed. I was so, it was like unlike me.
I think that happens a lot. That's a lot of people's story.
And I had like a lot of indigestion and nausea. Mm. I really think nausea is really terrible if you're not vomiting.
Yeah.
So we had done the pregnancy testing where I take the pregnancy test and then I get my period. So I felt the premenstrual symptoms or syndrome, right? And I was like, oh man, I need my period to come. I didn't think I was pregnant. And how I tested, I had had wine and I had had pasta. I couldn't stomach that pasta. And I literally sat in the dark because we were having load shedding. And I just peed on a stick. I was alone, one man, 9 o'clock in the evening. I'll never forget. And literally, I was so pregnant that I didn't even fully pull it out from between my legs.
Yeah,
and I already saw the two lines. Oh, yeah. And then, and then I called my mom and I was like, mom, listen, it's happening. I had to rip off the band-aid because I knew she was going to be pissed off.
Yeah.
So I called her immediately and I was like, listen, I'm pregnant. She's like, I'm like, yeah, I'm pregnant. I'm like, actually, I'm not stressed about you. I'm more stressed about Dumelo because he was going through a transition in his career that we really honestly couldn't afford each other at that time. But yeah.
Had you been together like a while?
So when I celebrated, it was so cute. When I celebrated our 3-year relationship, I celebrated that we're now becoming three.
Oh, hectic.
Yeah, we're now 5 years
serendipitous
in.
As hell.
I know, it's so cute. Our lives have been so cute. Our like couplehood has been so cute. Honestly, it was the little icing on our cake.
Mm-hmm.
He was so warm about it. Then he obviously went through a little bit of a shock.
Yeah.
It wasn't nice for him. And I was very moody. Mm. I was very, very moody and I was very angry. Don't know why I was that angry.
Hormones, babes.
Yeah, but I was very angry. And like they sicken you, like your man sickens you. Like,
listen, I've been like not full term pregnant, but I've been it and I was exactly where you were.
You were disgusted, right?
Little amount of time I chose to not.
Yeah. And you get disgusted, right? So I was very disgusted with him and it was like, it was shame. I really feel bad. Like I think back to that time and I just felt sick. So that time was kind of like awkward. And then we got the sweet spot and it was just like beautiful from there. But yeah, I had a tumultuous pregnancy.
Okay, so for you, when you were feeling these feelings, was termination ever an option for you? Or were you just like, you know what? Ride or die, we're here now.
No, I wanted her.
Okay.
I've always wanted to have a child. You actually commented on something that I once put out.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I didn't have the guts to make her.
Yeah.
I've never had the guts to make her because I didn't think that I could get pregnant. I didn't think I could... have the guts to give birth. So once she was there, once I knew she was there, I felt very blessed. And I was like, okay, no, I'm definitely doing this.
That's incredible. Now you're in this relationship, amazing relationship. How much did being pregnant change, if anything, your relationship with your partner?
Oh, it almost broke us. It almost broke us. So it brought us very close, but it also separated us. So when we were going through the issues, he was so supportive. Yeah. He didn't miss any appointment. I think he only missed one because he was traveling.
Yeah.
But he was always there. Always there. But he was going through his own situation, which I can understand. Yeah. It wasn't planned. And there was never a second that I thought that he would never be there for me and the child. But I think a lot was happening in his mind and also a lot was happening in my mind. And I wasn't really giving that time a lot of light, you know. So we have these hectic hurdles in our pregnancy. They make me very anxious. Mm-hmm. And I become really angry and irritable. And he can't be around someone that's irritable.
I mean, none of us can. Sean.
Yeah. So it was quite tough. I won't lie. We broke up at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we broke up for a day. But we broke up.
Not a day.
But it was a real breakup. My mom had to intervene. We had to have a proper intervention.
I mean, clearly it was God. Because, I mean, in a day?
Yeah, a day. It was a day. Just jokes. Yeah, it was a day and it was hard. But I thought I was done. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, I'm just going to move out with this kid. And he was like, no, that is not happening. Yeah. I'll pull up my socks. And he did. He did. After my child, I will say that our relationship is 10 times better.
Mm. Speaking of that, now I know a lot of parents, it must be so hard to kind of figure out you and your partner when you have a baby to also take care of. And a lot of moms, to their credit, make everything about their lives kind of become about their child, sometimes to the neglect of their relationship. So do you have any sort of advice or like things that you can share in how to keep your relationship as golden solid as it is while still obviously having a new member?
Have sex. Mm-hmm. Have sex.
That's have advice sex. For everything.
Yeah. Have sex.
Yeah.
Honestly. Having sex in the beginning is tough. If you
is
were
this
like
physically so or mentally?
Yeah. Physically for me. Personally, because I had a slut lodge and we couldn't have sex before.
Explain, because I have no idea.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry, guys.
We're not in hospital, girl.
I do this a lot. So I had a stitch to keep my baby in.
Okay. Right? To keep your baby in?
Yeah. I have an insufficient cervix, so it opens up. So,
okay, no, guys, there's so much that can happen in pregnancy. Why do you do this?
Okay, so I'm going to explain it in like the easiest way, right? So the cervix is basically the door to the womb. Okay. It has to open up at the right time to let the child out so she can walk out. Like, what up? I'm here, right? So if it opens before, you have insufficiency.
Okay.
Right? So mine shortened and started opening very early. So I was going to lose her. So then I had to go for an emergency stitch. So I couldn't have sex because...
I have a stitch.
not even that. He was never going to feel it.
No, were you not going to feel it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. The cervix, you don't
feel it. Oh, it's on the cervix. I thought it was in the opening, my babe. Sorry. No.
Yeah, what?
I don't know.
My vagina?
I don't fucking know.
No.
I don't know.
No, what did you think was happening to me? No.
That one, you know the one where, it, like, I guess it's after birth, but they cut from
the perineum.
That's what I thought it was. Okay, we're talking about something else. Okay.
No. You are talking about
guys,
like
pregnancy.
You know,
is
these
wild.
Are actual practices in other countries, like in like African countries.
Like we live in circumcision. Africa. Like no. The female circumcision, you mean?
Where they close it up. Where they close it up. No, that's terrible.
Terrible.
That did not happen to me.
Another day, another.
Anyway. Didn't happen to me, guys. I just need to put it out there. Please don't send me a GoFundMe. You can, though.
You can.
So, yeah, so I had the stitch. So we couldn't have sex during my pregnancy. So for those of you who are having sex during your pregnancy, you're so lucky.
In fact, it's called genital mutilation. I'm so sorry.
Yes, mutilation. And a lot of people enjoy sex during pregnancy. I wish I had that. So afterwards, because you're breastfeeding, you can struggle with dryness because your estrogen levels are down. Mm-hmm. So I struggled with dryness. It literally felt like I was a virgin again. It was not nice. It was uncomfortable for him. It was uncomfortable for me. It was not cute. Someone had promised me that I was gonna like spray milk, and I was excited about that part
during sex. Just
I thought I was gonna have like little milk sprinklers. I didn't get
that.
Is
he supposed to also be catching?
Yeah. But I didn't get it. I was really sad.
Why did you want that? That is so wild.
Because I'm a wild kid.
Okay.
I'm a wild kid. Guys, right. I am a doctor, but I'm a wild girl. So have sex. Talk to your man.
Date nights.
They also need to talk to you. Also, guys, as much as you take responsibility, men need to also take responsibility with communicating. Mm. Communicate. Both communicate, right? Tell him what you want. Hear him what he wants. Your anxiousness makes you irritable. By the way, that's why you're irritable. Mm. Okay? And then, your baby will always be there. Your baby will be well taken care of. I feel like when the partner is very involved, it's very easy to get back into feeling in love again. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely that divide. I mean, like now, I mean, talking about like right now, we have a toddler and we are struggling with sleep. Mm. So it really kind of is killing that intimacy in that part. Like we can't really cuddle at nights because she's in the middle of us. We sleep in separate beds because she sleeps sideways. Yeah. So one person has to choose. And she's very obsessed with her father, which is very cute during the day. At night, not that cute. Mm. So yeah, I don't know. And go out on dates. But sex is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Try go back. Your libido will definitely feel low, but you can build up on your libido. Mm. The more you have sex, you'll build up on your libido. Yeah.
Okay. So actually, there's a question that kind of goes to that.
Yeah.
Which is, our baby sleeps in the same bed. How do we have sex? Is there a way?
They don't have another room?
She didn't explain the rest.
Well, I mean, we're a little bit adventurous, right? I know. I have a friend who sleeps with her man, mm-hmm. with the baby in the bed. And I don't judge her, but I kind of...
I mean, what do they see? Come on. Even if they open an eye, it's like, mommy and daddy are playing at this point.
maybe they might have to invest in a camp cot. Your relationship can't suffer because you have a child. Mm. And your relationship can't just be about your child. Unfortunately, your child is their own person. You know how they say that your child is a person that comes through you, mm-hmm. is not of you? So they have their own lives that they have to live.
Yeah.
Still go back. Your partner needs that. You need it. And also, a lot of people like to make it about the man. Like, oh, your man needs sex. No, you need sex, girl. You need sex. I've actually spoken about this on my Dr. K page. The benefits of sex. It's very important
during pregnancy, guys, or just in general.
Just in general, as a human being, it relieves your stress. It makes you think better. It actually helps with gut health, which mm-hmm. I found very weird. It helps with your immunity, found very weird.
Okay.
Helps with your energy. It's a form of exercise. It'll get you up. It gets you revitalized. I mean, like...
I think it adds to your confidence and self-like.
Honestly.
It does.
And I'm going to use a word or a phrase that my husband has been using. Fiance husband.
Not the blushing one.
Has been using for...
He or her has been, girl.
Has been using for this past month. It's so annoying. He always says, increase your luck surface area. Honestly, when you have sex, it increases your luck surface area because you're so confident, you attract so many people towards you.
Yeah.
Sex is very important in that sense. So,
and it just feels good, bro. Like, it feels great.
It does. And if it doesn't...
Find another one.
No, play with yourself. Okay. Actually, a lot of people don't realize that sex is a conversation,
mm-hmm.
right? You can have a great conversation with anyone.
Yeah.
Okay, if it's boring, it's boring.
Because I was also going to say, sometimes you're just not speaking the same language, no matter how much you try to translate yourself.
Yeah, right? But if you've gotten there, I hope you're speaking the same language. If you're there, I hope you're speaking the same language.
Let me tell you something sad. A lot of the people that I had a sex coach in the earlier episode. So many women just don't have partners who are willing to even listen. And I think they've gotten to a point where now they're older. Maybe they met when they were in their 20s. They weren't confident to say something. Mm. But now they're older. Now they're like, you know, I want to explore toys. And someone's like, oh, no toys. I don't want to compete with a rubber. There's so many people who just have really sad stories. And
No one can compete with a human being.
Imagine.
It's different.
Your vibrator going to be your vibrator, but a dick on a person? Come on. And if you're feeling weird about it or like, I don't know, jealous, you need to like check your game.
I watched Sex, Love and Goop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's
not
weird.
Not Gwyneth. Oh my God.
Okay. She's odd. Let's not talk about her. I know she's a little canceled right now. She's odd. She lives on soup. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. But what I loved about that whole show was how they were speaking about how you can really create a conversation. You can create a relationship with your person.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need to understand that it's an art. And sometimes you dance with a person and you get into the rhythm immediately. And some people just need a little bit of practice.
Yeah.
But you need to also be willing to put in that, right? And you will find your rhythm if you're willing. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't know themselves. So what rhythm are you at?
Yeah.
Let's start there. What beat are you dancing at? Ma'am, are you dancing to Yeah? And he's dancing to gospel. It's not going to work. You understand? Yeah. So get that together.
Okay, so now here you are.
I don't know what we answered, but it's fine.
But it's also fine. We get back and we...
Yeah.
Because the question was actually, how do you have sex in the same bedroom, I think? And you said...
Oh, get a camp cot. Get a camp cot or...
Or fuck during the day when the baby's at school. I don't know, like afternoon delight.
Fuck during the day.
Let's meet at the Radisson at 2.
It's so good for you. Especially if you guys work from home. Don't do it on your desk. Do it on your chair.
Sometimes do it on the desk.
Ah, I have it. It will fall. I'll tell you that. It's a floating desk.
Get a good desk. Okay. Ah, it's a floating desk. I got a floating desk.
You're getting dicks and desks.
Hey, dicks and desks. That should be season 3's name of the podcast.
Dicks on Discs.
Dicks on Discs. You're going to be my co-host then on Dicks on Discs.
I am.
Okay, so now we are, you know, obviously you experienced, you said you had body confidence issues post-baby. Yeah. You didn't feel so much like yourself. How do you recommend, or how did you come back to feeling like confident, Katleho? Is it your partner's thing? Was it, I don't know, exploring yourself? How did you start feeling more confident and sexy? Because sometimes having sex or not having sex does have to do with how you feel about yourself before. So we said it does give you self-confidence, but sometimes you need it to even have it.
Yeah.
So how did you start feeling like old Katleho again?
So I haven't. I'm not old Katleho again. Okay. I won't lie to you. I still got like flabs that I'm not happy with. Like I'm not happy with my tummy. But like, I hope he doesn't see this. Mm. We need to block him. Can we block him?
We can. Give me his Instagram and then I will.
Let's block him.
Block him from Converse and Cocktails.
But I remember we
I suppose as a supportive husband, his and he will watch. But
yeah. We had a session and I remember he looked at me and he was like, "You are so gorgeous." And it just felt so good. That has like kept me like, and feeling so good. He made me feel so good. He doesn't even realize this.
Don't you want him to see this? That is the nicest thing.
No, he's gonna be like, "Oh, why are you telling people our private business?"
No, girl, that is so sweet.
But
oh,
he made
God.
Me feel so good. Like the way he looked at me, like he had come from somewhere else. And he came up and I was like, "Hey there." And he was like, "You're so sexy." That was so hot. How he looked at me, everything. And he looked
so cute.
And he looked so beautiful himself. And, but he does it a lot. Like he'll look at me like, "You're sexy. You're beautiful." The other day I said to him, "I feel fat." And he's like, "Stop it." He's like, "Stop it." Like he's like, "Kaz, I get it. You can go to the gym. If you want to lose pounds, I'm not saying that it's going to make me, I'm not saying like I'm not attracted to you right now. But I want to get sexier for him."
Yeah.
Because he affirms me.
The thing is also with weight, because I've been bigger, I've been smaller, I've fluctuated my entire life.
Yeah.
Is it actually the gym part of it for me was more mental than it was physical. Because sometimes you will gym for a while and not look a damn bit different. But if you feel confident, because you, I don't know how, obviously endorphins, mental health, it works.
But also your skin looks
because
better.
Sometimes you don't fucking change and you will do the same things over and over again and go to gym, eat right, blah, blah, blah. But it just, the confidence will come at some point. And and if your partner also already looks at you like that, look at you like that.
Yeah,
if
really
he sees
do that.
Beyonce, you see Beyonce.
And also, guys, wear your size. I said this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Wear your size. Go out there. I wear a size 16. If that makes you feel better, I hope it does. I wear size 16 and I look great in it. When I was trying to fit in a size 12 that I used to fit into, I looked stupid. I am so sorry. I look like the Oros man. I feel so confident now because I wear my size. Yes, look, I had a shopping experience. That's why I was late. Mm-hmm. And it was a terrible experience.
You were 2 minutes late. My God, relax. It's fine.
Yeah, but I'm never late. But I went to obviously the stores that everybody goes to. And I won't lie to you. It's not a nice experience. Mm-hmm. So also find your stores. Zara is
see,
not
that's
fast.
That's the thing also that is so irritating about
it's
how
it's so irritating, but you have to accept it.
Is. Now we gotta fight. Because we're for me, fighting. I'm just like, there's no way everybody can enjoy fashion except bigger girls or enjoy certain fashion.
Girl, it irritates me so much. I speak about it, but like right now, if you can't change it, don't try go there and depress yourself. I'm done with that. Like, I'm done with it. Like, people look so cute in certain outfits. I know I'd look cute in that outfit. I would look cute in that outfit in my size 16. Please make that outfit in my size 16. I would look so cute in it. I love cargo jeans now. Dumela thinks I look stupid in them, but I love it. I love them. And they make me feel so good. The Fix has good ones. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. Not me promoting.
Promoting stores.
No, don't I'm not promoting. You didn't pay. But anyway. So yeah, like get your size, wear it, and surround yourself with people who make you feel beautiful. I've got a friend that literally cries. I don't know, she's so dramatic. I always tell him, like, "You're so dramatic." She's like, "You speak down to yourself and you're just so beautiful." She's so great for my confidence. I've got romantic friends now. I had a friend the other day just come into my house with flowers and just to tell me I'm beautiful. It makes you feel good. When you're surrounded by good people, it makes you feel good.
Yeah. I would give also a little advice, and this is not from a mom perspective, but I was asked earlier how, as a bigger girl, you can feel confident. Just look in the mirror and say things that you love about yourself. Ignore the parts that you don't, the parts that you think you want to work on, the parts that you, but just give yourself some self-love every single day. Game changer.
You know what? Also, I also want to say something. Someone body shamed me the other day. And I remember I was so pissed off about being body shamed by this person because this person is very dear to me. And they said it in such a nonchalant way. Like, it was just like, whatever, like, oh, fix your stomach. And that's what they said. She was just like, fix your stomach. And then she just like carried on with the conversation. It was just like, oh, fix your stomach. Oh, can I have some more margarita, by the way?
See, I have too much of a sassy mouth to have let that.
So I sassed. And then I realized, then when I sat down, I'm like, I stood up for myself for a reason. Guys, your body is not everything. Right now, I'm actually getting bored of it. Everybody looks the fucking same. Everybody's dating the same man. Everybody's wearing the same face beat. Everybody's in the same wig. We all look the same. People look the same. It's okay for you to look the way you look. Because at the end of the day, like, if you had to die today, would that be important? I thought about it. I'm like, okay, you've said this to me, but if I die today, if you had to lose me as a person today, if I was dead, would that be important to you? Would that loss statement be like something that you'd be able to live with? I'm over it. I'm over it. Honestly, I'm over it.
Yeah.
You'll get the body and then you won't have the teeth. You'll get the teeth and then you won't have the eyes. You'll get the eyes and then you won't have the hair. Yeah.
Remember, it all continues over on the socials at @Lesego_Tlhabi. Now let's get back into convos and cocktails. Okay, so we're now on the topic of dating. You know, so I'm going to ask you some more viewer questions.
Sure.
And this one you've kind of answered, but it says sex after the storm. So after a baby and healing, my sex drive is down. Is this normal or not?
Very normal. Extremely normal.
What can they do to maybe
bring it back? Yeah, I personally struggled with this. I personally struggled with this. And the only way I got back, I think it was after I stopped breastfeeding, definitely, because then my estrogen levels went up. And then also when I finally got lube, lube was very important.
It's a game changer.
Yeah. So
in general, you don't have to be like, guys, just lube now. Yeah, go
lube,
now.
Lube is great. So when I used lube and then I got back, I remembered the sensation. Then there was something to crave again.
Yeah.
So your sex drive is also low because you have nothing driving you, right? So remember the sensation. So go back to sex, use lube, speak to your partner, have fun. Please watch porn, please.
I'm an advocate for that.
Yeah. Please, guys, don't watch other people who've been, don't watch revenge porn.
No,
please don't do that.
But now, speaking of, you know, hormones and getting them back, do you advocate for people taking sort of supplements? Like, you know, men have Viagra. I'm not really sure what women have, but in order to get like, okay, now my estrogen is down.
I practice are there like things a pink that pill.
Should we?
There's like a pink pill for women.
Okay.
Look, I'm not prescribing it, but if you want to,
sure.
Okay. Yeah, but if you die or anything like that, that's between you and God. I'm not saying you're gonna die, guys, but if anything happens, that's between you and God. I'm saying, like, you know what, take charge of your life. If you want to explore, guys. Life is so short. You're not gonna do everything right.
Yeah,
do whatever you need to do. But yeah, I don't think there's hormone supplements that I would really suggest for anybody, especially when they're young. It's only for your postmenopausal people where it's really necessary for them to be on the hormone replacements because they really struggle without the estrogen. Yeah.
Okay. Oh my God, the collab! I didn't know we needed two of my faves. No question, just geeked.
Love it. Thanks.
And I'm going to name her now. Tozama, thank you so much.
Thank you. I love you.
What is the best way to settle on a parenting style? Okay, let's get into like now you and your partner parenting because you are first time parents.
Yeah.
You are now learning what kind of parent. You don't know. This guy might be sweet. He might be kind. But you don't know what kind of father he's going to be until he becomes one.
Yeah.
So how do you settle on a parenting style or agree on a parenting style with your partner / co-parent?
Respect and communication. So when they say that, Katlego, I'm not happy when you do this. So I won't lie to you guys, I do shout. I raise my voice. And it's something I'm trying to unlearn. Mm-hmm. It's how I was raised. So I'm trying to unlearn that, right? And my partner said that one thing he saw or he realized is that my child is starting to scream because I scream, right? So with that, I need to respect him and stop screaming, all right? I like his parenting style. He's just not as rigid as I need. Like, sometimes you do need to enforce rules. Mm-hmm. And his baby girl just plays on his mind. Like, she gets away with a lot of stuff. But I can see that I'm rubbing off on him in terms of, like, how to be, like, stern, not shouting, though. Like, how to be stern and say, no, Nia, you don't do this. Especially now because she can communicate. So now she's in that I can't stage. So, like, when you say, Nia, time to sleep, she says, no, I can't sleep. So we say that now to her. When she says, Mommy, I want to watch Baby Shark. No, I can't watch Baby Shark.
Sometimes they pick them up from TV. An external factor. I feel like people place a lot on the parents. There's so much that kids, I think, pick up.
Yeah, no, they do.
Look at me being...
They do. I love an expert. Yeah. But no, so it's just respect and communication, and that's how you get to your parenting style. Mm-hmm. You'll figure your way out. Please don't... a lot of the things that we get taught or we condition to believe is the right way to communicate. Mm-hmm. If you can see is harming your child, stop it.
Yeah.
No, don't shout. I shout. Guys, I'm so irritable as a person. I won't lie to you. And I need to be honest with you because people think like we're perfect, whatever. I don't know how many DMs I get like, oh, you guys are so perfect, whatever. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I promise you, I lose my knackers. I go wild. I go ballistic, guys. I am a planner. You see, I always plan events. I'm a planner. Mm-hmm. So I want certain things in order. Children have no order.
Yeah.
I don't know what order they come from, you know? So my child sometimes feels like a little bit of an enemy, and I let her know that. So, yeah. Yeah.
But I think it seems to be that compromise is the best thing. Like, he's learned a bit of sternness from you. You're learning how to be more gentle.
Yeah.
Less shouty with him.
Yeah.
So that seems to be...
But gentle parenting, I just need to say...
Gentle with that TM, because I, you know, gentle parenting, I love how every generation of mom thinks they've got it on lock until they have a kid. And then it's
That thing's going to make you depressed.
Yeah, there's a
that thing's
going to
give you a problem.
Our moms shout.
No. You can't... Hi, little Tommy. Go to the eyes. Tommy, what a lapis, wait. That's how children hear Tommy.
And they just need to know that.
Yay!
They just need to know.
Yeah, just a yay. Not a yay. You get it? A yay. Yeah, you must yay a little bit.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. Okay, so.
You cry with tears. You like
I do. Every time I laugh, it's so boring. It's so boring, especially when you glam.
Guys, you know, I once did her makeup and so she cried the whole.
Yeah. Do you remember? Fuck, it was for a shoot also that time, so I needed to be pretty. Doctor,
but you were gorgeous
with her many side hustles and ambitions and joy.
She was so gorgeous.
But
it was such a bad day for you.
It was a terrible day. It was woof.
And it was after her birthday. Guys, it was after her birthday. She was so happy. She had come from her birthday. I'm sorry to speak about this, but
no,
I have to.
Go off.
She had come from her birthday. She was so happy.
How do you remember all of this? This is so crazy.
Because I love you. She had come from her birthday. No. So, okay. I need to tell you guys how Lisa Clavier and I know each other. Coconut Kells. And she was like, please stop calling me that.
Please.
So
she was literally calling that in person.
She wanted to book me for her book. I was going to be on a book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she...
We couldn't like... We just... No, not fitting. Puzzles weren't coming together, right? And then we finally... Right?
For a magazine cover.
For a magazine.
My first. Yeah.
Let's not talk about that situation.
I was so excited.
But anyway, and she, you look gorgeous. I know you, she had to go home and get her own dress. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, because the styling team just didn't cater for me because I was not, I gave them my size like 2 months before, just by the way. And I didn't lie about it. It was there. But they just didn't bring...
That was shit.
Girl,
I
they even said,
so
can you just have it open in the back? I was like, are you fucking mad?
Are you fucking mad?
Yo, I was,
are you
I
fucking
was
mad?
Sad.
And then they tried to blame me for her being unhappy. Then I sent you a long text. Do you remember that?
Yes. Because I had to leave and go get it. I was like, I'm not, first of all, I should have just, if I was this age, I would have just left and not come back. I was so young in like just happy to be there kind of thing that I came back. But had it been 2023, I would have just gone.
I'm actually shocked that you did that.
Because I was like young. Brian was my first one. I also didn't want the reputation of being difficult. Like I had so many overthoughts in my head. Girl, can we get back to the motherhood? Anyway. That's how we
went. I'm sorry. It was very important for us to speak about this because everybody goes through this experience. I felt so bad for you.
I felt so terrible. And that was another example of what I was saying where people just don't cater for you when you're
so you know how you invisible. Felt that day?
Yeah.
Is literally how I felt at Saint.
That's how I feel every day or how I felt every day. You know how after losing a certain amount of weight, did I feel like I can be included in conversations on, I've dressed kind of similarly the whole time, but were certain things that I wasn't able or certain styles that I wasn't included in the conversation because they didn't cater for that size. It's a real crazy thing.
This is just about exclusion. That's all. And you will feel that as a mother.
Yeah.
That's all. That's what I wanted to say.
And as a mother, we just feel it all the time. As someone who grows up, you know, being overweight or plus size or whatever they want to call it.
I'm so sorry.
Anyway, this is a question about breastfeeding. My son stopped breastfeeding at 3 months. Okay. But now he sucks on my breast, but the milk has dried up. Is there any way I can restart the process of producing milk? He is now 8 months old.
He stopped breastfeeding.
It's been 5 months since she stopped breastfeeding. He stopped breastfeeding at 3 months old.
No.
And And now he's 8 months old and he wants to start, I guess, or he's sucking on the breast again. So
Nia does that. No. No.
What's no? Like no?
I could be wrong though. I could be wrong. They can't speak to a speech therapist because they're lactation consultants. Mm-hmm. And maybe they can help her try get the pumps out. But once that hormone goes down, prolactin, once it goes down, it goes down. Mm. So what happens is in the breast, there's a feedback system, right? So your breast gets told that there's something that wants milk. Mm-hmm. And it sends that to your brain. And then your brain says, okay, cool, I'll produce milk. Right? But there's also an enzyme, apparently, it's a protein. Mm. I studied on this. It was so random. There's a protein that builds up in your breast, and it will build up more when your child is not breastfeeding. And basically, it does leave room for milk to be produced. So I don't think so. I could be wrong. Maybe there's a miracle woman out there
who can bring it back
after 5 years. But yeah, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I promise you, I wanted the same thing. To be quite honest with you, when I had dried up, I really wanted to go back. And yeah, no.
Okay. So I don't know if I guess how often should baby bottles be changed?
Oh, so they actually tell you. They tell you. So your bottles have like an age limit, right? So the teats. Mm. So change the teats. So the teats will tell you like 1 month to 3 months, whatever. Then change those. I used to just change my teats. I didn't actually change the actual bottle because we were sterilizing it quite often. But if you're really not happy with them, then you can change them. It's your prerogative.
Yeah.
My child is fine. She's lived on the same bottles. The only thing is that we moved up with the steps, with the ages. That's the only difference. Yeah.
Okay.
And we changed the teats because she is a carnivore and she eats her teats.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is last question from the viewers, I guess. Advice on tips for quick healing of the scar after a C-section. Is there a tip or do people just have to wait it out?
So everybody's different and it depends on your surgeon, right? Mm-hmm. If they really rip through you, then you're going to feel it for quite some time. So with me, being mobile was very important. And also keep up with your painkillers. So what people think, how people take painkillers is not the right way. Mm-hmm. And that's why they normally think they don't work. Like people don't think Panado works or paracetamol doesn't work. And it's because they don't take it the right way.
Yeah.
So you need to take your medication as prescribed. So every 8 hours you take your tramadol or whatever they give you, right? Mm-hmm. You must take it in those 8 hours. Don't wait for you to get the pain and then take it.
Okay.
So when you do that, then you make sure that you don't definitely don't get to the pain, and then you can be more mobile. The when you're mobile, there's a lot of...
I've actually been taking painkillers wrong my whole life then.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. I once changed my friend's life. She had a flu. And I literally put her on a schedule of how to take her medication. She was like, I'm moved. She's like, I didn't even know paracetamol could work this way.
Yeah.
But anyway, so with the scar, you just need to get a lot of blood flow. Mm. And to get blood flow so that you can get nutrients in that area and then it can start to repair itself. So to do that, you need to be active.
Yeah.
And for you to be active, you shouldn't be feeling pain. So keep up with your pain medication and then, yeah, so forth.
Okay.
I hope that makes sense.
It does. Yeah. I actually have some more questions, just four more. Fuck, these are so interesting and so different from the rest of what we've been talking about. So I really want to ask them.
Yeah, sure.
This lady says she's, and I suppose you don't know it from a personal experience, but how would she navigate dating after a baby? I guess she's single. What would you recommend for single moms and how to navigate dating?
Yeah. So obviously I can't speak from personal experience, but I have a friend.
Yeah.
And she has shared with me it's very hard. Mm. The only thing I always say to her, what I encourage her, is that you just need to get yourself out there.
Mm.
Two, don't shame yourself for having a child. I don't know why. A lot of people shame themselves.
Yeah.
It's like they're dirty now that they have a child, or their unwanted goods now that they have a child.
There's so many men who are willing to not even step up and be stepfathers. Not everyone is going to be a Russell Wilson.
And nobody
but
should
just be date. Just date.
You shouldn't go out there looking for a father for your child. As I said, you have a separate life to your child. Obviously, don't put someone that's going to be dangerous to your child, but don't put that as the president, like the one, the biggest thing, right? Find a partner for you. Once you find a partner for you, definitely if that person has the same values as you, they will love your child, right? So date yourself first. Be comfortable with yourself. Then you'll know what you want out there and you'll know what you want to offer to someone. Yeah.
Love that. Okay. So please, can you talk a little bit about how isolating early motherhood can be? I feel so alone.
So isolating.
And what do you need from your friends? Like, how do we as friends step up? Actually, just to circle back and close off that conversation.
So I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know because at that time, shame. And I hope my other friends don't see this and be like, but Kaz, you didn't say this.
Mm.
At that time, there was a certain friend group that I wanted support from. And they basically, I felt, turned their backs on me. It was so isolating. But you also sometimes isolate yourself.
Yeah.
It's just a period that you really have to go through.
Mm.
Honestly, I didn't realize that until it was done that I had to go through that time, because I had to spend time with myself and I had to start to understand who I am, because who I am is important to my child as well. And then I just like said to myself, like, get over yourself, fight your mom, but you also got Katlego.
Yeah.
Like, start falling in love with Katlego again. And go to the people who want to be there. People who want to be there for you, start bringing them in. There are definitely people in your life that really want to be there.
Mm.
Open yourself up and join the Clueless Mom group. There's so many people who have made friends in our Clueless Mom WhatsApp group.
Love that.
We'll share
Instagram,
that.
_ZA.
Sorry we had to put an underscore. Someone stole my name.
Okay, this is the second last question. Quick fire. Is it normal to have dry, itchy nipples in the second trimester?
Maybe. Yeast infection. Yeah, so you have to go check that out.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the last one, and I know that, I don't know this. But could you touch a little bit on miscarriage? Because we are speaking about moms who have been able to have their babies, but there's also moms who have not carried to term. So how common is miscarriage, and how successful are pregnancies that happen after miscarriage?
Sure. I don't know the stats.
Okay.
But they definitely, people definitely do have children after miscarriages. Also it's dependent on why you had the miscarriage. Did they address the reason why you had the miscarriage?
Mm-hmm.
Was it just a thing of like, it just happened? Then that's fine. Then a lot of people then do get pregnant.
Yeah.
But if there is a reason, then it needs to be addressed and you need to have a conversation with your gynae. I have a pregnancy loss group actually on WhatsApp where people support each other. So
how do people fight that? Just message
it's
you on Instagram?
On my Instagram, I have a link tree and it's part of my link tree. Please get into that group. It can sometimes be morbid. I see them. They're sometimes very sad, but they
sometimes sad is necessary.
Yeah. But they share a lot of tips with each other and some of them have had successful stories. I actually have one, which I'm very happy about.
Mm.
I can't wait till she announces.
That's amazing. All right, Katleho, for just before we go, you are doing a pap smear drive as part of your work as a doctor, because I just called it Katleho. Tell us a little bit about your pap smear drive.
Yes. So I'm now working with Lumidyne Medicals and in collaboration with Via Health, mm-hmm. which is a women's health group brand that I'm working with. Mm-hmm. We have embarked on a pap smear drive. So for 180 Rand, you can come into any one of our two branches. So we're based in Sandton at UMed Sandton, mm-hmm. as well as in Pretoria at 317 Pretoria Street. And yeah, you can come in for your pap smear for 180 Rand. You also get a consultation and a breast examination. And at some places you get to meet me. I'm joking. But we've had a very positive time. And I just want to say that it is very important. Mm. We've already picked up people that we need to intervene in.
Yeah.
Right. Where they need medical intervention. And that is a group that is normally like missed or not looked at. Mm. And yeah. Very important. Pap smears are very, very important.
And just quickly, what do people pick up on pap smears? I mean, we should know this, but there are some people who just don't go to gynaes. What are we looking for in a pap smear?
Okay, so pap smears looks at the cells in your cervix, right? And it can tell us abnormalities of that mm-hmm. cell, of the cells. So it can tell us if you have an infection. Normally, it will tell you about your bacterial vaginosis, which is BV. Also tell you about a yeast infection. Mm-hmm. But it can also tell us if you have precancerous cells or if you actually have cancer, and also cells that are typical of HPV.
Cool. Thank you infection. So much. Guys, follow her on Instagram.
I don't wanna be
follow
done.
The link tree. I know, samesies. It's, and you are actually one of the last few guests of the season. In fact, the last official guest of the season.
So sad.
So thanks for coming through,
no,
making time,
you.
Wearing pink. You just happened to know it was the color. I didn't even tell you.
Yes. But guys, yes, please come to Lumidyne Medicals. Please, please, please.
Yes.
I want more patients. I really want to treat more people. I really think
you opened like yesterday. They're coming.
I'm such a good doctor.
They're coming. We believe you. They're coming.
Please believe me. My patients love me. I'm joking. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dr. Katleho, for joining us. Thank you guys for watching another episode of Convos and Cocktails. It has been great.
It's been amazing. Cheers. You're amazing.
You're amazing.
You're amazing.
You're amazing too. Bye. Season 3 Convos and Cocktails, produced by Lesego Tlhabi and WMG, and recorded at Vodcast TV Studios. Remember, this podcast is streamable on Spotify and other major streaming platforms.